Good evening. Welcome to part 11 of Hilchos Bishul. Last week we talked about the halachas of Shehiyah, of leaving something on the blech or on the flame on Erev Shabbos, and we learned that you should always try to have a blech, but if not, you certainly have to make sure your food is Maichel Ben Jusoy if you want to leave it on an open flyer. And we talked about what happens if you put up your crock pot right before Shabbos and it did not have enough time to get half cooked or even a third cooked. You came home at 3:30, put it up at 4 o'clock, Shabbos starts at 4:30. So we learned that theoretically you didn't line the crock pot with an aluminum foil liner. So theoretically you violated the halachas of Shehiyah, of maintaining something on an open flame or at least on an open crock pot heating element. And that, we said, was a violation of the Isser of Shehiyah, and therefore it would be Asur b'di'eved, the Talmud will not be kosher. And we spent the first part of last week saying that perhaps it would be kosher, because since it's for Shabbos lunch, as opposed to for Friday night, there's less of a concern that you'll stoke the flames, which is the whole concern when we're dealing with Shehiyah, with maintaining food on a fire. And we therefore would be mekel to allow you to eat this cholent if it was crock pot for cholent for Shabbos lunch. But if you had soup in the crock pot for Friday night, and when Shabbos started, it was not yet half cooked, then it would not be kosher. That was the beginning of last week. Talking about covering knobs last week, we said that lechatchila, when you cover the blech or whatever you're covering, it is lechatchila good to cover knobs, but it's not necessary. It's not really necessary, but you should if you can. What about the opposite? Could you only cover the knobs? Is that sufficient? And we saw that all the poskim argued on Rav Aaron Kudler. Rav Aaron Kudler said that covering the knobs itself is sufficient, but we are not meka like that. We are machmir against Rav Aaron Kudler and saying that covering the knobs is not enough. You have to cover the whole heat source, whether that's a blech or or whatever else you're covering up. We finished off last week talking halach lemaisa about a hot plate. If it's non-adjustable hot plate, since the whole concern for this isra of shehiyah, of leaving things on an open fire, is that you might come to stoke the coals, play with the fire, so if it's non-adjustable, there's nothing to stoke, there's nothing to adjust, there's nothing to change. So therefore, halach lemaisa, you do not need a blech on a hot plate to leave things on it for Friday afternoon. There are people who are machmir, maybe some of your friends, based on Rebbe Yashiv, that say you need to have a aluminum foil on a hot plate. We do not pasken like that. You could just leave things Friday afternoon on a hot plate, even if they are not yet cooked, and that will be okay because it's a non-adjustable hot plate. That was last week. Let's continue this week with some new important halachos. Continue with the topic of Shehiyah, of leaving things on the flame Friday afternoon. And hopefully in the middle of today, we're going to switch to the next topic, which is Chazara, which is taking things on and off the flame on Shabbos. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Shehakol Nehiyah B'Dvarav. Let's say I want to leave something on a blech Friday afternoon. I put up hot water in a kettle. Do I have to have that hot water hot before Shabbos? Or can I put a kettle full of cold water on the flame, on the blech, and then run off to Mincha, run off to Kabbalah Shabbos on Friday afternoon? Before I tell you what the Shaila is and what the issues are, let me tell you a story that Rabbi Schefter is very fond of telling, because I think I told this story once when we learned the halachas of Krakpas. That was 2-3 years ago. And I've heard it from him at least 4, if not 5 times. So he's fond of telling the story. So apparently 2 people came to Rav Soloveitchik. I don't know what else was happening in their marriage, but at least this was an issue. And the man is demanding a divorce because his wife is a Mechallel Shabbos. Rav Soloveitchik knew that this lady comes from a very impressive rabbinical family. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik himself learned Bechavrusa with this young lady's father. And obviously knew that she wasn't the type who was just giving Mechal Shabbos. So he said to the husband, please explain to me how your wife is Mechal Shabbos. To which he answered, well, before Shabbos starts, my wife just puts a kettle of cold water straight on the blech. It's not cooked before Shabbos, and she just leaves it there. She's Mechal Shabbos. And she says, what do you mean? My father, who's the Salvechik, your Chavrusa, you learn together. And that's how my father does it. So the Salvechik said, aha, I understand where this is coming from. You don't have to get divorced. Your family is a Galitzianer, and your family is Litvish, as follows. Let's now get to the crux of the matter, and you'll see what the machloka is, Galitzianers and Litvish, and you could find out from your parents where in Europe you're from, and you'll figure out what you have to do. So let's start like this. When you have a blech, that means that you could do what? That means that your food, even if it's not Michael Ben Drusai, could be staying there. However, this is a machlokas. Let's say I do have a blech. Does that mean that my food could be absolutely raw? If I have a blech, right. If I don't have a blech, if I have an open flame, let's put hot plates aside. Let's talk about an open flame with a blech on top. So if I just have my open flame, so I'm not allowed to leave something there. If I have a blech, I can leave something there. Can I put something that's absolutely raw there? Meaning, not cook it at all? Not cook it at all? Put it on, have the blech there right before Shabbos, and then allow it to cook completely on Shabbos? So this was something that the Shulchan Aruch says, it's mutter gomer. This is mutter entirely, and therefore, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you can take a kettle of cold water, put it directly on the blech right before Shabbos. However, there's a Rabbi Akiva Eger, which is a chumrah that they followed in Galicia, apparently. You could ask your parents if you're from Galicia or Lithuania. I don't remember exactly which countries were which, and it depends which time of 20th century history, which country was in which part of what. In Galicia, they were machmir not to allow raw food even on a blech. It had to be partially cooked, Machal Ben Drusai, before Shabbos, in order to leave it on a blech. And that's how Salvechik understood what was happening between these two parties and this couple. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, could you leave something that's totally raw on the blech? According to the Shulchan Aruch, it is permitted. According to Rabbi Akiva Eger, who has a chumrah, one should be machmir, that it should be, the water should be hot before Shabbos. So therefore, if you do want to have a kettle of hot water on the flame before Shabbos, you should. If you want to be machmir, well, it is if you're from Galicia, you definitely should, and even if not, it's appropriate to be machmir for this Rabbi Akiva Eger, and have your water warm, heated up before Shabbos. Similarly, if you have like what I have, not a kettle, but a pump pot, one of those Shabbos urns, lechatchila, you should have your water heated and hot already before Shabbos begins, so that you don't get into the issues of having it warmed on Shabbos without being covered. Because if you have a regular pump pot or urn, there's no way for you to put a blech on it. Because we explained last week that a blech has to cover the heating elements. You can't. The heating element of an urn or a pump pot is inside the bottom of the pot. You can't cover that. And therefore, there's no blech. So therefore, what's the only way to make sure you could use something without a blech? If it is hot before Shabbos. So therefore, make sure your hot water urn is already hot before Shabbos begins. Question?
Just saying before Shabbos begins. So that, like, you plug it in before you light candles 18 minutes before.
I don't know if 18... Well, it depends on... You have to know your pump pot. My pump pot will probably boil the water in 18 minutes. Yeah. I'm assuming if you light candles 18 minutes before Shkia and you do it 1 minute before that, so 19 minutes is probably enough for a pump pot to heat up, but you could experiment tonight and tomorrow night and Wednesday night and Thursday night, and you'll see what to do Friday night. Yeah. Since there's no blech, it has to at least be Machal Ben Drusai before Shabbos. What's Machal Ben Drusai by liquid? By food, it means when it's edible. Water is always edible. So by liquid, it would have to be probably Yad Tzor La Dispo, but that's a range, 110 to 160. Here we have to, so on the Machmir side of the range, we have to be at least 160 before Shabbos, I think. But it's better to have it boiled. Better to have it boiled, but certainly 160. Any other questions about this point? About hot water before Shabbos? Pump pots, urns, kettles, new topic. Okay, let's go to the next topic. The next topic is something that people have very mixed perspectives on, and that's because they heard of something, they're just not sure how to do it. And in fact, one of the two people here spoke to me last week or the past 2 weeks about this, Shaila, about a way to save yourself on Friday afternoon when you come home late, right before Shabbos. So we said that when you come home right before Shabbos, you want to make sure, ideally, you want to have your chalent half-cooked before Shabbos comes in. If not, you need a blech. What happens if I really just didn't have time? I don't have a blech. I don't have aluminum foil to line my crock pot, or it's something that I can't put a blech on. Could I just, somebody said that maybe I could just throw something raw in right before Shabbos starts. People heard of that? Okay, so you've heard of that because it's a Gemara. Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Ches. But to understand that, we have to just take one step back. What's the whole reason why you're not allowed to leave something on an open fire? Because you might come to stoke the coals. Shema yichate bagechalim. Well, the Gemara suggests the following scenario. Let's say I have something, and again, try to forget about how you cook nowadays. Try to go back, you know, like I told you the story when I was a Boy Scout, we used to cook on coals. So try to go back to those days, and imagine a food that you're going to cook on coals, and you could leave it on these coals, and if you leave it there till tomorrow, till lunchtime, it's going to cook no matter what, whether you stoke the coals or don't stoke the coals. It's going to be on those burning embers for 15, 16, 17, 18 hours. It's going to cook no matter what. And is there any chance that it'll be ready by tonight? No. It's not going to cook. Even if you would stoke the coals, it's not going to cook by tonight. So therefore, again, we'll say that again in a moment. The Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara says, if you take a piece of raw meat and put it into your stew, your chalent, your whatever dish it is, a second before Shabbos, we don't have to be worried that you're ever going to play with it. Why? Because if this is going to be for lunch tomorrow, and you put in a piece of meat right before Shabbos, well, by tomorrow it's going to cook even if you don't play with this fire. By tonight, since you put it in right before Shkia, right before Shabbos, it's not going to be ready for tonight, whether you stoke it or not. So is there any reason to stoke? Well, let's think. Do I want to stoke it for tonight? Even if I stoke it, it's not going to be ready. I just put it in right before Shabbos. Do I want to stoke it for tomorrow? Well, for tomorrow, it's 18 hours from now. It's going to cook anyway. I don't have to stoke it. So there's no concern that I might stoke something. And therefore, the Gemara says, this dish, kidra kidera, is a pot, chaita, raw, a raw pot, meaning if you put one raw thing into any pot, there is no iser of shahir. You could leave it on an open flame, because we're not worried that you'll come to stoke the coals. So let's try to translate that to modern day applications. I have a cholent or a soup that I want to serve for lunch, Shabbos lunch. I got home really right before Shabbos. I throw it in, and I jump into the shower. I get ready, get dressed. Now, as I'm about to be mekabel Shabbos, as I'm about to light my Shabbos candles, I quickly drop one raw item into this soup or this cholent, and then I don't have to be worried about blechs. I don't have to be worried about linings. I don't have to be worried about any kind of garafe katum, because there's no concern. I might stoke it, because tonight it's too late for it to get ready for tonight. And for lunch, Shabbos lunch, it's going to get ready even without me stoking. That's what the Gemara says. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. However, we're past that. Before Moshe Feinstein was the big guy in America, the posik of America was Rav Henkin, Rav Eliyahu Henkin. Rav Henkin, Zatzal, said that nowadays, this whole Gemara could be thrown out the window. Why is that? Because nowadays, the way we cook on our stovetops or ovens, anything that you want to have cooked is possible to be cooked by Friday night dinner. I'll give you an example. We said here that if you put something in right before Shabbos, it's impossible for it to be ready tonight. That's not true. How long is Kabbalah Shabbos? Mincha, Kabbalah Shabbos, Marav, that's an hour. Get home, start the meal, it's an hour and a quarter. Till we start our meal, have our first course, our second course, our soup, our main, our salads, our dessert, and finish speaking our Lashon Hara and singing some Zmiros, we're two and a half hours after we come home from shul. Shul was an hour and a quarter. We're 3.5 hours after Shabbos. Our cooking in our kitchens will cook anything you want in 3.5 hours on the way we cook nowadays. And therefore, the whole basis, the whole logical foundation for this heter of kidra chaisa, of a raw piece of meat, is out the window, because the whole point is that you're never going to need to stoke it, because for tomorrow it's going to be ready anyway, and for tonight it can't anyhow be cooked by tonight. Says Rav Henke, but that's not true nowadays, because nowadays, with our cooking styles, anything can be ready for tonight. Anything you give me to cook will be ready by the end of a Friday night meal. In 4 hours, anything that we have that we cook is going to be ready. Even if you have a big 20-pound turkey, it still doesn't take 4 hours to cook. And therefore, Rav Henkin says, this entire halacha, and Rav Shachter told me that our Soloveitchik agreed to Rav Henkin's position. Nowadays, nothing that we will cook is going to be too long to cook for the night meal. And therefore, anything that we want to drop in right before Shabbos, I don't have that kula anymore. I don't have that hetz anymore. Question. Yes. Right, but if there's no reason for me to stoke the coals, I'm not going to stoke the coals. So if it's for lunch, so there's no motivation for me to stoke the coals. Tonight, anyway, it's not going to be ready for dinner, according to the Gemara. For lunch, it's going to be ready anyway without stoking. So why stoke? Well, why do I want to hasten the cooking? So that it will be cooked when I want to serve it. But if I'm planning on serving it at lunch and it's going to be cooked, I don't have to hasten it. Right? Yeah.
Is stoking the coals the only esser cooking on Shabbos?
No, we are not talking about cooking on Shabbos at all. Now we're talking about a special gezeirah d'rabbanan that after you took all of the care of the cooking on Shabbos component, which were the first, let's say, 8 or 9 shiurim of this series, then we start with an iser d'rabbanan of leaving something on an open flame on Friday afternoon. And that is only a concern that you might come to stoke the coals sometime over Shabbos. So if you have the blech, you're not going to stoke the coals.
But wouldn't it be like a different iser to
you did it on Friday. All the actions that you did were on Friday afternoon. So there's no cooking involved. There's a separate gzera d'rabbanan that you can't even leave it from Friday afternoon to be sitting there motionless. Just you're not touching it. Even then, the rabbis say you can't leave it there because you might stoke the coals. Okay? So there's no action involved on your part. Therefore, there's no bishul. Bishul is only a question that you did something with an act on Shabbos. Okay? That's great. Thank you for pointing that out. Yes, you were listening very well. We did say a few minutes ago and the beginning of last week that the whole reason why we're going to let the person, the guy who put up his challah right before Shabbos, be able to eat his challah on Shabbos afternoon, even though he didn't have a blech, because of this svara, that something will be able to be, something that will be eaten on Shabbos lunch will get cooked anyway. That is true. We won't get into the answer why, but that's an excellent question. Yes. I have one problem with what I just said. When you cook regularly, it's true that things cook quickly the way we cook them. An hour, two or three, you could cook anything with our cooking. But what's the one thing that could take a long time to cook? Crock pot, otherwise known in English as a slow cooker, exactly. So slow cooker, hey, maybe it won't cook whatever it's cooking by tonight. Meaning, the whole heter that I have here is that, the whole reason why Rav Henkin said we lost this kula of Kidrachait is that it's going to be able to cook by tonight. You'll say, no, Rav Henkin, crock pots will not necessarily cook by tonight. And therefore, you don't have to be worried about stoking it for tonight. And for tomorrow, it's going to be cooked anyway. So therefore, you might as well just put a raw piece of meat into the crock pot a second before Shabbos, and you should be able to leave it without a blech. Because after all, Rav Henkin, it's a slow cooker. It's not going to cook by tonight. That's what the Orchaz Shabbos says. And he says that with a crock pot, you can. Orchaz Shabbos is a contemporary savior, came out of 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And he says that a slow cooker, you can use this kula of kidra chaita, of a raw piece of meat, drop it in right before Shabbos, and you don't have to be worried that you'll come to stoke it. Therefore, you can leave it on an unlined crock pot, an unblecked crock pot. Because anyway, tonight it's not going to happen, and by tomorrow it's definitely going to happen. But my friends, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. What's the whole concern? That you might come to stoke the coals. So this is a slow cooker. on settings, let's say 1 through 5, it's on 1 or 2 or 3. That's not going to make it by tonight. But what are we worried about? You're going to stoke the coals, or in English, adjust the knob. And if you adjust the knob to high, then yes, even a slow cooker will be able to cook it by tonight. And therefore, even by slow cookers, even by crock pots, I do not think you'll have this heter. And I just confirmed that with Rosh Hashanah, and he agreed with me that this heter does not exist nowadays. So even though many of you might have heard of this concept of dropping in something raw right before Shabbos, and that will let you just not have the concern of playing with a fire, and you can leave it on an open fire without a blast. Halach l'maisa, this concept does not apply and is not applicable in modern times. Any questions about this? Yes. It could be two things. It could be either to make sure the fire doesn't go out, or to make it warmer so that food cooks more quickly. So we're assuming, I mean, usually embers could stay burning unless you put them out with water or suffocate them with dirt. They'll usually stay burning for many hours, if not days. And soaking it just, you know, fans up the fires. Yeah.
If a raw piece of meat was dropped into a crock pot right before Shabbos, can you rely on the
lining? L'chatchil, if you're still right before Shabbos, you'd have to put in a lining. If you did, and now you want to know if the food is kosher on Shabbos, you could probably rely on the leniency. Yeah. But again, that's only post facto. If it's Shabbos morning, and you realize, oh my gosh, I forgot to line my crock pot, but hey, right before Shabbos, I dropped in a raw piece of meat, then yes, you're allowed to eat it. But if you realize it's on Friday afternoon, you can't rely on that lechatchil, and you would have to line your crock pot with aluminum foil inside. Any other questions about this topic? We are now finished with the topic of Shehiyah, of leaving foods on the flame Friday afternoon. We're now going to begin the next topic, which is a little bit more involved, and that is Chazara. Chazara means taking something on and off the flame, taking something from one blech to another blech, one place on a blech to another place on a blech, and certainly it's going to include taking something that was not on a blech at all and putting it on a blech on a fire on Shabbos. So, like we mentioned earlier, there's the halachas of Bishul, that's Asur D'oraisa. Then you have a series of Gzeiros D'rabanan that even if you're not violating Bishul, there's still a concern that they have. And the first was Shehiyah, which we just finished talking about. The second, which we're going to talk about right now, is Chazara. And the third, Hatmana, we'll talk about at some point in the future. What's the reason that the rabbi said you're not allowed to take something off a fire on Shabbos and put it back on? Again, we're not talking about, until now, all we were talking about until now was leaving something on Friday afternoon with a blech, without a blech, but you didn't touch it on Shabbos. Well, I mean, you took it off, but you didn't take it off and put it back on. Now we're talking about taking it off on Shabbos and putting it back on Shabbos. So why would it be aser to take it off and put it on Shabbos? What? Mechzek mevashel. Yes, some Rishonim say that the concern is when you, very nice, I took it off the plata or the hot plate or the blech or a fire on Shabbos, but when I put something on a fire, so if somebody comes in the middle, what do they see? They see a guy putting something on a flame on Shabbos. Mechazeh, that's Aramaic for it appears, kimavasha, like cooking. That's what Rashi says and some other Mefarshim say. Others, the Ran, for example, says, no, just like, what was our concern with Shehiyah, with leaving it on an open flame on Friday afternoon? What was our concern? Shem Yechat, you might stoke the coals. Well, you know what? When you take something off the flame and put it back on the flame, what? Exactly. It might cool down a little bit. Right? You took it off the flame. You were holding it in your hands for 3, 4, 5 minutes. It's not as hot as it used to be. So when you put it back, what might you do inadvertently? Stoke the coals. So the same concern, two different halachos, two different gzeirah d'rabbanans, but the same concern according to this opinion. Shehiyah is Shema Yechata. And here, Chazara also, taking it off and putting it back on the flame, we're worried you might stoke the coals again for this concern also because it cooled off a little bit. So now that we have two possible reasons why Chazara will be a problem, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, actually Gemara tells us, certain situations where I'm allowed to yes do chazara. These are the famous five conditions of chazara, and we're going to understand them in a conceptual way, so they'll be easier to remember than five facts. Because I think the human brain is built only to memorize how many facts? Michal? 7 plus minus 2. But they break it up. They break telephones into 3 and 4 digits, right? 3 digits and 4 digits. Chunking. Thank you. Yes, chunking. So I'm going to try to do some chunking for you, so you don't have to memorize 5 things. You only have to memorize 2 things, or maybe 3 things. But before we do, I just want to ask a question. Some of you are familiar with Chazara, and you know that the different conditions are. I'll just lift off the 5, then we could talk about them, because the 5 conditions that you have to that have to be met in order for you to take something off a flame and put it back on are the following. It has to be mevushal kol tzarko, fully cooked. B. Number 2, it has to still be hot. Number 3, there has to be a bless. Number 4, you have to have da'as. When you took it off, you have to have intention that you planned on putting it back. There has to be a mental component there. And number 5, it has to be in your hand the whole time, from the time that you took it off the flame to the time that you return it to the blech. Those are the 5 conditions. And now we're going to talk about analyzing them and conceptualizing them and boiling them down to their main categories. That we'll talk about. I just wanted to get this point out of the way. 5 conditions, again, mevushal kol tzarko. It's hot. There's a blech. You have in mind to replace it, and you're going to keep it in your hand. That's the halachas for chazara. Those 5 conditions, and whatever we do from here on is really just to understand the parameters of those 5 conditions and the conceptualization of those 5 conditions. That's all we're going to do from now until we finish the halachas of chazara, which will be not before next week. I have one question. Going back to the last 2 weeks, when we were talking about shihiyah, just leaving something on a fire on Friday afternoon, how many conditions were there? What does a person have to do in order to allow them to leave something on a fire on Friday afternoon? What do you have to do? You need a blech. That's 1, not 5. 1. Now, what's the reason? Why are we concerned? What is the isra of shihiyah? What's the concern that chacham are concerned with? Stuck in the coals. So we have a concern of stuck in the coals. So what's the solution? Put a blech on. Okay. Now, when I came to discuss this new topic of chazara, we said, hey, what's the isur for chazara? So somebody said, mechazik mevashel, like Rashi. It looks like cooking. Good. We'll leave that aside. The other opinion was that it's a concern you might come to stoke the coals. And all of a sudden, to solve this problem of stoking the coals, you need 5 stipulations. How come to leave something on Friday afternoon, which is a concern for stoking the coals, you only need 1 solution, which is a blech? And here for chazara, you need 5 solutions. It's the same problem that you might come to stoke the coals. Who has an answer for that? Should I say the question again? Sure. Take a drink of water, then it will come out clear. I'm contrasting the 2 Isurim Drabanan that we learned about for the past 2 weeks and what we're starting today. The past 2 weeks we talked about the Isur Drabanan of leaving something on a flame on Friday afternoon. And that was a concern I might come to stoke the coals, so therefore the rabbi said I must have a blech. Do I need to do anything else? No. All I have to do is have a blech, and I don't have to be worried about stoking the coals. Here, we said to take something off the fire and put it back on the fire on Shabbos. So, there are 2 explanations. One of them is it looks like cooking when I'm putting something on a fire. I'm not going to talk about that understanding. The other understanding for this whole Isra called Chazara is that if I put something on the fire, I might come to stoke the coals. So that's the same concern I had last week, stoking the coals. But how come for Chazara, for this new Isra Drabbah that we're talking about today, the concern for stoking the coals, according to this understanding, that it's a concern for stoking the coals, makes me have a blech, and I have the intention to return it, and I have to make sure it's mevushal kol tzarko, and I have to make sure it's still hot, and I have to have all these other things in mind. What do you mean? If we're worried about stoking the coals, so just make sure you have a blech. Didn't that solve our problem last week when you just want to leave something on Friday afternoon? That is correct. It's on Shabbos, and therefore if it's not fully cooked, you're going to be over some more serious things than an Isur Drabanan of Chazara. You're going to be violate Bishul if it's not fully cooked, and you're going to... If this is not fully cooked, I take it off and I put it back on Shabbos, and now it does get fully cooked, I'm violating Isser Shabbos. There's another concern. Were you going to say something before? You sure? Okay. Any other ideas? So the Rishonim say another idea. They say here there's more of a concern that you're going to stoke the coals than regularly. Because, let's imagine here I have my fire. It's Friday afternoon. And here I have my pot. And I hope this doesn't spill. And I leave it there. What are we worried about? That I might come to this Friday afternoon, I set it up without a blech. Right? No blech. This is the fire. This is the pot. What are the rabbis worried I'm going to do? Stoke the coals. How hot is this? It's as hot as it was a second ago, and 5 minutes ago, and an hour ago. It could be if the coals are getting cooler, then it might get, you know, I might want to stoke them to get them warmed up. Okay, but nothing changed. That was last week. As opposed to by Chazara, what's happening? I have a pot here. It was here since Friday afternoon, and now it's Friday night at 11 p.m. I want to taste the challenge. I take it off. I start looking for a ladle or a spoon to spoon out this challenge. I go to this drawer, no. Finally, I take a spoon. I got a spoon. Now I have to, you don't just take challenge. You have to get a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I take a little bit of kishka, and I take a little bit of the beans and a little bit of the barley and a little bit of potatoes. I don't really like potatoes, so you only take the small potatoes. And then, of course, you have to have a little piece of meat. You don't have a lot of meat because it's going to ruin it for the guests for tomorrow. But you have to, if you don't have meat at all, Friday night, you're not even to be of it. So you have to have a little bit. So by the time I put it back, how hot is this? It's still hot. In fact, it has to be hot. Otherwise, I violated one of the five conditions. So it's still hot. But is it as piping hot as it was before? It cooled down a little bit, right? So now, what just came into action? A greater concern than we ever had that one might stoke the coals because it cooled down in that 20, 30, 40 seconds or 3 minute interval that it was off the fire. Oh, now that I put it back down with all the conditions, before all the conditions, there's more of a concern that I might stoke the coals than I ever had before. Because it's a little cooler now because I had taken it off for a minute or two. So now the Chachamim were more concerned I might stoke the coals. And therefore, they added these additional parameters, these additional conditions, to ensure that I don't come to stoke the coals. So those are two reasons why, if you assume that chazar is a problem of Shema, that it looks like cooking, I'm not asking any questions. But if you assume that chazar is asur because I might stoke the coals, so why isn't it the same as shehiya, which is also because of stoking the coals? So we have two answers. First of all, what you mentioned, that there's a concern by putting it back on the fire, you actually might cook something, so you have to make sure it is fully cooked already. And secondly, since it cools down, there's a greater concern that you might come to stoke the coals. Okay, now let's begin to discuss a little bit more in depth the background, the parameters of these conditions. Where do these five conditions come from? Gevarim Shabbos, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, tells a story. Amar Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia says, Pam achas, one time I was serving Rabbi Chia Rabba, the great Rabbi Chia, and he was on the roof and we were downstairs. He was on the upstairs balcony, we were on the downstairs balcony, and he wanted some hot water. So we took a kumkum. What's a kumkum? A kumkum. A kettle of hot water from downstairs to upstairs. We served him his tea, and we went downstairs and put the kettle back on the fire. And what did he react? What did he say to us? Nothing. What does that show? That he was okay with it. What do we learn from here? We learn that you could do chazara. And then the Gemara says, wait a second, but that's only if it's still in your hand the entire time. But if you put it down on the ground, I'm sorry, that would not be okay to put it to return to the flame. Then another Gemara brings, there's another opinion, no, maybe even if you put it on the floor, it's okay. And Gemara continues, that which we said, that if you still have it in your hand, it's okay to return. That's only if you intended the whole time, when you took it off, you're going to put it back. But if you didn't have intention to put it back, you're really just going to take it off. And then, oh, yeah, maybe I should put it back. No, that's not going to work. And then finally, the Gemara concludes with three questions. And these three questions we will discuss later. Gemara says, what happens if we said that you have to still keep it in your hand? You can't put it on the ground. And we'll talk about why. What happens if you left it hanging on a stick. You didn't put it down, but it's not in your hand. It's sort of in the middle. We'll talk about some very important applications to that question. Most of us don't leave our chalent pots or our tea kettles hanging on sticks. But we do some things that are very similar, which we'll talk about later today. The Gemara says, what about if I leave it on a bed? Again, it's not in my hand. It's supposed to be in my hands. It's not in my hand. It's not a bed. But I didn't really put it down on the floor. It's just on the bed. And finally, we won't talk about the third question. The Gemara answers these three questions. Teiku. What does teiku mean? Every semester that I've taught in the past few years, the Gemara had a series of questions, and the Gemara answered teiku. And I always gave this as a question on the quiz for my students. What does the word teiku mean? Teiku has two meanings. The literal meaning is, let it stand. Meaning, the question stands. It's a good question. We don't know the answer. The other meaning for teiku is that it's an acronym for Tishbi, Yitaret, Kushyot, Ba'ayot, Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi. When he comes, he'll resolve all of our questions and all of our problems. In other words, also, we don't know the answer, but there's hope. So historians say that that's not really what it means. It's just like, really just means let it stand. But once we have that, we wanted to like inculcate in our children the value of, you know, Tzipia LeMashiach. But whatever the historical background is, it's certainly an important concept. Yes, we hope for the time that all of our questions will be clarified. And until then, we're still going to have to figure out how to pasken. So we're going to deal with it. That's the source in terms of in Shas, where we get these conditions from. But now let's talk about them more specifically. We'll do them one at a time, and I'll talk about all the permutations of each situation. So let's start with understanding. Let's start with our chunking. Okay, we're going to do some chunking now. We do not have five conditions. We really have two concerns. Two or three. One concern is, as you mentioned earlier, you're doing chazar, you're taking something off a fire. Here's my fire. You're taking something off a fire on Shabbos and returning to the fire on Shabbos. As you're doing that, you want to make sure when you put it back on the fire, you're not violating an Issa D'oraisa bishul, right? So what do you have to make sure of? A, it's already cooked. How much cooked? Revushal called tzarko. Because if it's only half cooked, it's machlok ben Yisrael, it's machlok as Rishonim. If you're going to violate Bishul Midaraisa by putting it back. So we want to stay clear away from any Yisurim Daraisa. So unless it's Mavoshul Kol Tzarko, I'm not even going to take it off because I can't put it back on. Secondly, what happens if you have a liquid that's cold? Could you heat it up on Shabbos? Of course not. That's also a concern of Bishul. Is it Midaraisa, Midarabanan? That comes to my shir 2 months ago to discuss. I think it's shir number 3. To discuss what are the parameters of heating up cold liquids that were already cooked. So the first two ingredients, the first two of the five conditions, that it has to be virtual cold circle and that it has to be hot, has nothing to do with chazara. Has nothing to do with the gzeru drabanan, the isu drabanan of chazara. It just has to be there to ensure you don't violate bishul. So we have three left. Now, the three are not really three. The three halachas of chazara, well, one is that you have to have a blech. Okay, that's one. And there's just one other. Chazal don't want you to do a nesina chadasha on Shabbos. A new placement on a fire on Shabbos. So how do we qualify something as a new placement? Well, if this is my flame, and this is my pot, and I remove it with the intention of just putting it down somewhere, and that's the end of the day. So if I then change my mind and say, you know what? I'd like to have this hot for maybe a few hours from now. Maybe some guests will come. Maybe I'll want to serve it later. So let me put it back. That's not putting it back. That's a new placement of something on Shabbos, on a flame. That's a nesina chadasha. That's aser. Okay. That's one situation. But that's really two situations. One is if I had in mind to take, look at my hands, I had in mind to take it off and not return it. So even if it's in my hands, since I decided I was going to remove it, if I then change my mind and decide to yes, put it back, that changing my mind and deciding to yes, put it back is in the Sina Chadash, is putting something anew on a flame. That's not okay on Shabbos. That's Asr. Alternatively, forget about what my brain was thinking. If I go ahead and put it on the ground, So I completely, even if my mind was to yes, put it back. But by putting it on the ground, what do I show? I'm finished with the fire. I'm finished with heating it up. Then I lift it up and put it back onto the flame. That's an asina chadasha. That the rabbis don't want you to put things on flames on Shabbos anew. So therefore, these two categories, these two parameters, these two conditions, A, that you have to have das to return it, and B, that you have to make sure it's still in your hand, you didn't put it down, they're really one. They're really just to ensure that you're not doing an asina chadasha, a new placing of a food on a fire on Shabbos. So therefore, when you take it off, you have to make sure that when you return it, it's a continuation of what it was before. How does it be, how can it be a continuation of what you were doing before? A, you have in mind to put it back, and B, you didn't put it down, it's still in your hand, so you're going to put it back. So now we just did chunking. We found out that there really only, there's one concern for not cooking, that takes care of mvusha called sarko, and that's still hot. We have to have a blef, that's true. And then it can't be an asidah chadasha, you have to just have a continuation of the cooking process, which is that you have to have it in mind, and that you can't have put it down. Those are the five conditions, chunks. Let's talk one at a time. Let's talk about the halacha that you have to have it still in your hand. What does it mean that you have to have it in your hand? You have to have it in your hand means that from the time that you take it off the fire, this is what the Mishnah Berurah points out, from the time you take it off the fire until you return it back on the fire, as long as it might be, it has to stay in your hand. You can't put it down, you can't let your hand go, you can't put it down on a countertop, you can't put it down on the floor, obviously. You can't put it down on a, hanging on a stick, for example. You have to be holding it the whole time. What do we mean by that it has to be that you're, that you have intention to return it? Same idea, that from the time that you take, from before you're taking it off, you have to know that you're going to be putting it back on. So for example, if you think you want to take out the soup to serve your guests, you take it off, unless you're holding it the whole time. I hold it, and my wife, let's say, spoons out for one bowl of soup, two bowls of soup, three bowls of soup. And then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, there's that fellow who's didn't come yet. I thought we were having, let's say, 10 guests, and I see there are only 9 guests here. So can I put it back on? So there, since I didn't have intention from the outset when I took it off, to put it back, so I'm not going to be able to put it back on the flame. Now, what I just did was a little bit mean, because I just told you that you have to have your hands on it, and you can't put it down, and you have to have your mind on it the whole time, and that's true, but that's only lechatchila. However, the Be'er Halacha, the comment on the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, says that sometimes if you have one without the other, it will be okay. Let me explain. Lichatila, yes, you do have to have intention to return it and keep it in your hands the whole time. But says the Be'er Halach on the bottom of the Shabura, that if it's still in your hand, let's say you took it off without the intention to return it, and then at some point, while it's still in your hand, you realize, oh, maybe I should put it back because it might be a guest that might be coming later. Maybe someone's going to want doubles and wants the soup hot later. Since it's still in my hand, says the Be'er Halacha, even though you did change your mind, then you're missing number four is that you have to have in mind to take it off and to put it back on. Even if you're missing that, the Be'er Halacha says as a kula, if it's still in your hand the whole time, you can change your mind. Again, this is not lechatchila, but b'di'evet, v'shas hadchak, if you need to, you can put it back, even though you did not have in mind to put it back. Why? Because it was in your hand the whole time. And the inverse, let's say you intended to return it, and like you lift it up, wow, this is hot, you put it down, but I wanted to put it back, I put it down, I'm in trouble. Says the Be'er Halacha, if you did have intention the entire time to yes, return it, even though you did put it down, the Malkam Tzarech, you will be allowed to put it back. So if that, exactly like I just described, it was too hot, so you had to put it down, or you thought you were going to hold it and scoop something out, and you didn't realize, wow, it's much too heavy, or you just need another hand and there's no one else to help you, so then you will be able to, as long as you have in mind the whole time, and it's the Makam Tzarech, you will be able to put it back since you had in mind. Let's just finish with one more point. before that one point, let me just add. If, however, you put it on the ground, then having in mind to return it won't help you. If you put it on the ground, that's just considered, you put it on the ground and you let go of it, that's just the end of the story, I don't care what was in your mind, that's going to be considered the end of the first cooking, and if you put it back on again, that will be nesina chadasha, that will be aser under all circumstances. Let's talk about a middle ground. Let's talk about putting it, not on the ground, but putting it on a counter, on a chair, on a table. What is that similar to? Well, the Gemara talked about holding it in your hand or putting it on the ground. And then the Gemara ended with an unanswered question. What was that unanswered question? Letting it hang on a stick. So I don't know what kitchens looked like in the olden days, but I'm assuming there was a chatzer with a pit in the middle of the chatzer where they cooked, and that was the kitchen. They didn't have counters. If they wanted to work on something, they sat on the floor, did what they have to do with their pot, and they stuck it in the pit, the oven, in the middle of the chatzer. Nowadays, we have something called counters. I assume in the time of the Gemara, they didn't. They had shulchanos, they had tables, but I don't know if they did their food prep on tables. So nowadays, when we take something off, we want to work with it, we put it on a counter. But on the other hand, we want to take something off the flame and we want it to be finished cooking, we also put it on the counter. So what's the status of the counter going to be? When I put something off the flame and I put it on the counter, does that mean I'm finished cooking? Or does that mean I'm still in the middle of cooking, I just need to do stuff? Spoon out, scoop out. So here, here the poskim say that Rabbi Yashar and Shlomo Zalman both say that if it is on the counter, that will be considered still in your hands. So, if you are holding on to it and it's on the counter, it will still be and it's on the counter. It will still be permitted to be returned to the fire. So, for example, this past week, I think this happened to me. This is the third week it happened to me. Friday night after supper, I lied down with one of my sons, and I fell asleep at 8:30. And I think last week I woke up at 1:30. When was it? Well, this past week I woke up at 1:30. No, 2:30. Anyway, this past Friday night, my Friday night challenge was at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30. So I was at 9:30 in the morning. Like we were up to like Shmona Esrei. I was still flacious. An incredible feeling. I happen to think that the challenge ends up tasting better Friday night than it does during the day. I don't know if it's psychological or it's whatever it is. So, in all honesty, my wife was not awake at 3:30 in the morning to help me have her challenge, to help me have my challenge. So I seriously contemplated waking her to be involved in such a great mitzvah. But I guess whatever got to me, and I didn't. So I was there taking my crock pot off, and I have to have two hands to hold the crock pot, and a third hand to scoop out of the crock pot, and then a fourth hand yet to take off the top. So that's not so easy. So what did I do? I took it with kavana to lift it off. Took it off the... Of course, I had a blech. I have my aluminum foil lining. So I have my blech. So I'm going to... I did the first halacha. It was mefush kol tzarko. It was still hot, certainly. I had in mind to return it, but I had to put it down. Ideally, if my wife was awake, I would have said, Nava, could you please take off the top? Could you please spoon out something? And I'll be holding it in one... Or if it's something that has a one-handed handle, then I would hold it in one hand and scoop out with the other hand. But a crock pot, you need two hands. So I had to put it on the... Watch carefully what I did. I had to put it on the tabletop. Then I'm still holding it in one hand. My right hand, I have to sort of take off the top of the crock pot, and depending on how your top, what kind of crock pot you are, you have, that could be easy or hard. My crock pot is hard, but we do it anyway. It's important. So we take off the crock pot with the cover with my one hand. My left hand is still holding it. Then I scoop, I'm still holding it, I scoop out whatever I needed into my bowl. I take my hand that's free, again, this hand is not letting go, I put it back, put the cover back on, and now I take my second hand and I put the whole thing back, and that's how we do it, because Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv say that so long as it hasn't been placed on the floor, it was only placed on a tabletop or a counter, it is still considered a continuation of the process. We don't have to be concerned that it's considered the ending of a process like putting on the floor, and therefore they are makel in that scenario. Question?
Did you cook exactly
Yes, my left, one of my hands had to be holding onto the pot the whole time. Vidyeved, if I did have intention, this is what we mentioned before from the Be'er Halacha, if I had intention to return it, but for whatever reason I did let go, vidyeved, since I had intention to return it, I would be allowed to return it. But lechatchila, as long as I know that I should be holding onto it, I do have to continue holding onto it. Yes. If it could be without resting on the counter, it is better. But I didn't have a choice because I don't want to wake up. Meaning, if the choice is to wake up your spouse or to rest on the counter, I'd rest off the counter for more than one reason. Pikuach nefesh is doch everything, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, question.
I was just going to say, it seems like this is a little bit of the other total let go. So, like, if you can someone up, like, then you don't want to bother somebody.
If you don't want to bother somebody, so you have no choice but to let go. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So you don't have a choice, you have to let go, but that's not, you know, lechatchila. If you have the choice, meaning you have another person available, so you should hold on to it and let them spoon out. So in camp, sometimes it's just not reasonable. If the tom pot is literally, you know, 80 pounds or more, could be 150 pounds, so it's not going to be feasible for them to just hold it in the air for 15 minutes for them to spoon out all the things. So there, they're going to be put it on a counter just like I put it on the counter. But yes, somebody will have, if they want to take it off and put it back on, somebody will have to be holding, grasping the side of that pot the entire time while all the spooning out happens. Yes. Any other questions about these points? Okay, terrific. So, Bezus Hashem, next week we're going to continue talking about the other components of Chazara, and then we're going to talk about very important things, and that's going to be warming up cold foods on Shabbos. That'll probably be the most important shiur of the whole series. That'll either be the second part of next week or the following week. I'm not sure. We'll see how things go. Have a wonderful evening.